Right.
Now, there's a few weeks back, you might remember that we devoted a whole programme to Parc na Shuntana Mara Círi, our newest national park. And during the course of that programme, in conversation with an expert, a baby puffin was referred to as what I always thought that they were called, a puffling. And then all hell broke loose. Of the 250,000 people listening to the programme that morning, it seems that one half of you instantly went, "Oh, puffling, that's adorable, absolutely perfect fit." And the other half of you let out a hue and a cry. "What nonsense are you on about, Philip? What a made-up word that is. Sentimental, soppy silliness. There is no such thing as a puffling. You meant to say puffin chick." Anyway, the powers that be in here said, "Philip, you better go and sort this out before it becomes yet another thing that divides the nation." So last week I returned to Kerry and boarded a boat to Puffin headquarters in Ireland, Skellig Mhíle. Straight off the boat and into a cathedral of crying kittiwakes and crashing waves. The plan was for a bit of gentle puffling spotting on a sunny morning.
"I'm not a professional in these birds at all. I mean,
but plans change as myself and OPW foreman Pat O'Shea were thrust immediately into a fully fledged puffling rescue operation.
What have we here?
We've got a baby puffin.
This is actually a puffling, is it?
It's a puffin, chick.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
He's come down from the... He's flown the nest and he didn't make it to the water. So he actually... They come onto the road here, a percentage of them, because they can't... They just misjudge the flyover to the water. And if they don't make it to the water, there's a good chance that the black-back gulls will pick them up and have them for breakfast."
Okay.
And
so human intervention is required here.
It is, yeah.
Fully-fledged rescue operation is a poor choice of words. Once a puffling is fully grown, its parents leave it to fledge by itself, throwing itself off the top of Skellig Michael and into the sea. But each day, there's a handful that don't make it all the way to the water.
"Plan now is to put that chick in a box and let them until nightfall, before dark. And we release them then."
Because of the risk of spreading avian flu either to the chick or from it to other birds, Pat takes me to find the island's resident ornithologist, Brian Power, who always has a supply of latex gloves for these situations.
"So does this happen often?"
"With the pufflings, yes, it does. We have get a chick or two most nights that might not necessarily make its whole way down. Because usually they come down, they bounce their way down, but you have a gap covering a large chunk of the island from the landing up to the old lighthouse."
"You mean this man-made path and wall
are
preventing their natural bump and fall passage down to the sea?"
"Yeah, it can do. It just depends on the line and the angle they come down or which section they come down."
How many have you picked up today?"
None so far today. I covered a good chunk of the top part of the island and there was no activity down."
"Here he is now. Look at him.
Yeah.
Quite dirty."
"Okay, it is a better size than some of the ones that have been coming down. So what we'll do is we'll keep this and we'll release it this evening at dark."
"Explain to me why at dark."
"So usually they come down at dark to avoid predation. So basically if a chick was to move from its nest during the daytime and make its way down, it would most likely get picked off by a predator, which out here would be usually...
herring gulls?"
Various gulls, great blackbacks, herring gulls, lesser blackbacks, and also there are ravens out here as well.
So how are you going to handle this, little fellow, now?"
"Very gently, keep the wings from flapping mad and keep the head in a position where it can't peck."
"Now how does he look to you?"
Feather-wise, it's quite good, it's quite advanced. The eyes aren't fully open at the moment, so we'll have a look at that later on. This evening then, prior to release, we'll take a weight and a wing length just to have data to compare."
On our way back with rescued puffling in latex-covered hand, we bumped into Catherine Merrigan, one of the OPW tour guides, who also moonlights as a puffling foster parent.
and has a zip-up pet carrier for the rescued chick.
So you've met Catherine. Catherine does has done a lot of puff and rescue over the years.
Hundreds. I'm here 24 years, yeah.
Really?
Looking after these little fellas.
Yeah?
If they weren't here, I probably wouldn't be here. Yeah, so absolutely.
They're quite special, aren't they?
They're amazing. They're the entertainment of being living on Skelligs big time, yeah. Absolutely.
That's fascinating. So how long? Am I alone in finding the puffins incredibly entertaining to look at and just to watch?
Absolutely not. Are you alone? I'd say most people think the same because they are so incredibly hilarious. I spent hours, like I've been working here for 24 years, and there's not a day goes by that I spend hours here. I finish work, I go back up and sit with the puffins. I sit and
really?
Knit and take photographs. That's what I do, looking at the puffins and just watching them as they move around, their interactions. I just think they're hilarious. But, you know, they're not only cute, they are feisty out.
Well, this is what I was going to say. I think that they are comic to look at, but my God, they take themselves very seriously.
Oh, my goodness. They have really attitude, big attitude, and you should see them fighting. Oh, my God. They're I always say, one of my jobs is breaking up puffin brawls because they literally kill each other. Beak to beak, rolling down the cliffs. And then if they hit the cliffs, they will actually die. So I try and intervene, and maybe I shouldn't. But this road, you see, was built by humans, and it actually does kill a lot of the birds, you know, because there's nowhere for them to actually get away over the wall. Okay.
What are they fighting over? Burrows?
Oh, they're fighting over burrows. They're fighting because they just want to fight just for a bit of fun, I think, really. And also the women.
Mm.
Yeah, if they're, you know, come near my woman and, you know, absolutely no way, not near my burrow, not near my woman. And especially this time of year, they're becoming really frisky because their work is mostly done. You know, they've been here since April. Their chicks, a lot of them have fledged. And now this is the most hilarious time. Like yesterday, I mean, I have 100 videos, even from last night, like of them coming into my cabin. You know, they come they come into my cabin. They come in under my bed. Sometimes it's hard to get them out. One of them went into my cupboard.
Are they looking for warmth or
They are looking for anything new to watch. Oh, they're just, this time of year, it's just hilarious. You could find them everywhere.
Puffins that burrow along the path to the beehive huts are neither wary of nor interested in the human beings passing by. They just come and go on their comically short wings as if you weren't there. Reinforcing that sense that despite this being one of the most famous places that humans have made their home in Ireland, the island really belongs to the puffins. Puffins are endangered. The European population has dropped by nearly 70% in the last 50 years. So when Brian spots another puffling in distress, the second rescue operation of the morning is launched.
She's got its head stuck.
In the rock?
Yeah.
How did it manage to do that?
Oh, she was just trying to find a safe space. I'll let you in there.
They're not very good at this whole leaving the nest business, are they?
This year has been completely out of whack. Last year we had a marine heat wave, and we don't know if that was the cause of it or not, but the puffins left. All the nests I was monitoring had finished by about the 24th of July. It's usually I'd be monitoring a few nests still around the 7th of August, so...
Is there enough food for this population of puffins and all the other birds of these islands in these waters?
It's an interesting question. So last year, again, the marine heatwave I mentioned earlier, we were kind of hypothesising last year that the puffins might have been able to provision their chicks at a faster rate. And if we're going to get more events like that, it's very hard to predict what's going to happen with food source.
10% of the global population of puffins live between Ireland and Scotland. Preventing their habitats being overfished will be critical to giving them a fighting chance into the future. The government here has come under fire for not giving greater priority to getting the Marine Protected Areas legislation passed before a general election.
This is really their island, you know. I mean, there's 8,000 puffins. They come back to the same burrow every single year to the same partner. Some have been tagged and some of them are reached the age of 30, 40. So they have, this is their home.
Now, you just said puffin chicks.
Pufflings.
Which is it?
Pufflings.
But you did say puffin chicks.
Yeah,
I did hear you say puffin
chicks. I did, but you're right, I do. I say pufflings or I say puffin chicks.
So are there two kinds of people in the world? Those who say puffin chicks and those who say pufflings?
Yeah, it depends on the day. Yeah.
Ah, Catherine Merrigan there. The rescue puffling / puffin chick Derry Londonderry was returned safely to the high seas that night.